One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mo DeKeel, and this did not take me four or five tries to figure out how to do the intro properly. With me is Law Murray, who witnessed all of this, our wonderful beat writer for the Los Angeles Clippers. Make sure you're reading all of this stuff on The Athletic. And if you're not a subscriber, I don't know what you're waiting for. You are missing on some great, great stuff. Law, how are you doing today?
Mo, it's good to see you and your full court background as we're doing this.
I just try to hide the mess in the garage, Law. I just try to hide the mess in the garage with a simple background. It's that simple. Not really a great slate of games tonight. Eight games, and just folks, you're gonna have to bear with us. Really wasn't the most thrilling action.
Not at the end, but I mean, I love a good blowout. I can tell you for a fact that whoever won didn't do it controversially. But it's rare that you see an eight-game slate in the NBA with every single game being decided by at least a dozen points. I'm not sure the last time we've seen that, if we've seen it at all.
Yeah, it's pretty tough night for anybody that was looking for really, really close games. But we're going to head to Oklahoma City first. They're battling the Brooklyn Nets. Big game for them. Oklahoma City wins 121-107. Listen, Josh Giddey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they're just unbelievable. And they had a monster third quarter. Triple-double for Giddey. Shai continued to do what he's doing.
I think the most impressive thing about Oklahoma City is even in a season, in an entire era where the expectations are depressed, no Chet Holmgren, the number two pick in the draft. Shai's missed a lot of games after the All-Star break, and here they are, one game within 500. I know everyone's waiting on a certain Western Conference team to get back to 500 for the first time this year, but the Oklahoma City Thunder, they were there earlier this year. They've spent the majority of the season under 500. They have now won 6 out of 7, and they have their first chance to get to 500 since the first game after the All-Star break. So it's just Mark Dagnall's done an outstanding job with that team. And part of it is keep the fight, even though you're getting blown out. The Nets were up, 16 points in this game. And just a great third quarter by the Thunder to turn it around. And really, it looks like the epitome of their season so far, Mo.
Not even just a great third quarter from the Thunder. I mean, it was really Dort and Shai going completely nuts in the third quarter scoring-wise. They combined for 26 of the Thunder's 38 points. That's kind of ridiculous. And this is still my favorite stat line. In that third quarter, Josh Giddey, again, who finished with a triple-double, had 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and was 0 for 5 from the field in that third quarter. Could have even been a bigger run.
Could have
been much, much worse. You know, listen, for the Nets, another game where Mikal Bridges showing out again, dropping 34 points, kind of going nuts, 11 to 23 from the field, 3 of 10 from 3. Not amazing. Spencer Dinwiddie really kind of hurt them, which is, he's kind of struggling from time to time. Every time I watch him, I'm looking at it and I'm just watching Dinwiddie going like, what's going on? 5 of 16 from the field, 16 points. Sometimes I'm like, it's a little bit too much from him. Law, what are you seeing from Brooklyn?
First of all, Mikal Bridges is incredible. I think this is, 14 games with the Nets now, and he's dropped 30 in half of them when he only had 3 30-point games in his entire time with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, it almost makes you think if you're Phoenix, you know, you basically traded Mikal for KD, and it's like, yeah, in a vacuum, you say you'd always make that deal. But would they have made that deal if they knew what they had and Mikal's on-ball ability? I'm not sure if they would have, to be honest with you. So just shout out to Mikal Bridges. But the Nets have these slumps, and we saw the other side of it. Like, we've seen them come back from massive deficits. But the other side is they're just, for as much wing talent as they have now, they still get just absolutely dominated on the glass at times, and they had still have these stretches where they just don't they just don't know what they're doing offensively. That third quarter will stick in their craw for a while, like to only make three shots for an entire quarter against OKC. That's pretty rough. But hey, it's four new starters that you kind of are just completing your first month getting used to.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
We're going to leave Oklahoma City because we got another game a little further south down in New Orleans. The Lakers taking on the Pelicans. And this is the team you're alluding to. They're trying to get to 500 for the first time this season. The Lakers get a step closer with this win against the Pelicans. I'm sorry. To call this a win is really an understatement. This thing was a bloodbath from the get-go. The Lakers go out 14-0 to start the game, and it really was never close.
The Lakers made more threes in the first half, then the Pelicans made shots overall two or three. And I kind of knew the Lakers were going to come out. They haven't lost back-to-back games since they debuted these guys, the ex-Timberwolves, if you will, Vanderbilt and Russell and Malik Beasley. But that's an embarrassing performance by New Orleans. I mean, to have Brandon Ingram come back from an ankle injury and then to just straight up not defend, not be ready to play, to really not start playing until they were down 40 with like just under 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's just a feckless performance on New Orleans' part.
Yeah, it kind of became a case of stat padding for New Orleans after that point. Listen, Anthony Davis was absolutely awesome. He's continuing that trend again, 35 and 17 tonight. He was kind of one of the main catalysts. Malik Beasley with seven threes for the Lakers. I mean, that alone is just wild. Like, he can get incredibly hot, and he showed it in this one here tonight. Like, it was just a massive blowout to begin with. I don't even know if there's that much to really cover about the game, but I think now, Law, we have to look at the musical chairs that we call the play-in tournament standings in the Western Conference, right? With this win, the Lakers move back into 10th into the play-in tournament. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who we just talked about, are now 8th, Minnesota's 7th. You got Dallas at 9, all separated by one game. By one game. The Wolves are a game over 500. You have the Lakers, Thunder, and Magic all tied 34 and 35 this season. New Orleans, after this loss, dropped down to being tied to 11th with the Utah Jazz at 33 and 36. And the Portland Trailblazers, who we're not really going to talk about much other than just they got completely destroyed by the New York Knicks tonight and have dropped down. They're three games out of the race altogether. It almost feels insurmountable for them. Excuse me, I have a hard time with that word there, Law. Tell me, just looking at these four teams, Minnesota, the Thunder, the Mavs, the Lakers, is this going to be our four play-in tournament teams, or is somebody else going to jump in?
I have a feeling that this is going to be it. It really, the question is whether the Clippers and the Warriors and the Suns can stay above that fray, which I want to give the faith and say that they might, but I think the Jazz are perfectly fine being outside of that, given their priorities in the coming offseason. The Blazers, they're just simply not good enough. Like, the Knicks are at the end of this long road trip. The Blazers got off to a 16-point start, and they got turned by 35 points tonight. Horrible performance at home by them, especially with a couple guys who had at least Cam Reddish. If that was a revenge game, my brother,
you need to look up the definition of revenge.
Yeah, man. Like, Josh Hart won that battle. And then just it just doesn't, like New Orleans, this was a big spot for them, huge game for them. And New Orleans still has a good schedule to make some moves, but just that's a huge game. And last year's Pelicans win that game going away. Okay. They beat the Lakers in the big games with LeBron playing. And the fact is they just don't look like they have the gas to compete the way they need to. So, I mean, the Pelicans, they might have some games, but all those teams playing above them, they either are playing better outright or they have the horses to ensure that they might play better than the Pelicans in a vacuum. So it's not looking great for the teams on the outside. And again, Portland might want to make playoffs. They're just not good enough. The Pelicans, they should be better than this. And the Jazz, I just don't think the Jazz care.
I have questions of whether Portland actually wants to make the playoffs. So they just say they do. But let's go to one of the teams you mentioned in there, the Phoenix Suns, a team that's possible in dropping into the play-in tournament. They're really just two or three games up right now. Already have lost three in a row, including this one to the Milwaukee Bucks, where Giannis Antetokounmpo continuing to make an MVP run. 36 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists tonight in this win for the Bucks. And one thing I found really interesting in this game here, Law, he had more free throw attempts than field goal attempts. He had 24 free throw attempts and 23 field goal attempts tonight for Giannis, as you know, the Bucks just continue to roll as they did on a second night of a back-to-back, came back against SAC last night and take this one against the Suns.
Yeah. And this was a second night of back-to-back for Phoenix as well. And the takeaway, I mean, Phoenix will foul you. They will absolutely foul you. The reason why and this is what I will say about Kevin Durant versus Mikal Bridges. Kevin Durant is obviously Kevin Durant, right? We know who he is, what he's capable of, and they need to address the free throw attempt differential in a way that Mikal obviously wasn't doing for them. They just need to turn that around. This is another example of the Suns are a team that not only will foul you, but they struggle to get to the line themselves, despite the names that they have on their roster. DeAndre Ayton had an inefficient 16-point night, right? To need 19 shots to get those 16 points at the center position is terrible. Didn't get a single free throw attempt in 26 minutes. And, of course, to top it all off, he had 5 fouls. 5 fouls in 3 quarters, mind you. Devin Booker, as good as Devin was, it took him 27 shots to get his 30 points. He only got 3 free throw attempts. Chris Paul, we already know where he's at in his career. Even against a relatively shorthanded Bucks team, they sat Grayson Allen, they sat Chris Middleton. That just isn't going to get it done. And that was the difference, even with Giannis bricking 10 of those 24 free throw attempts, Mo. So I thought it was a really tough win from a Bucks team that, you know, they obviously got on a little skid prior to the Sacramento game. Sacramento was a big win for them, and now they're going to continue, and they followed up with another big win against the Western Conference team. And for the Suns, it's two big losses in a row on back-to-back nights, and now, like I said, they are closer to the pack than when people thought initially that they might challenge for a top three seed.
Yeah, I think Booker did a lot of his damage in the third quarter with 17 points. I think that's really, he pulled them back in, made it a one-point game at that point.
Yeah, they took a lead.
They took a lead early in the fourth. I think they just ran out of gas. At this point, without KD, with having traded Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, you don't have a lot of guys that can make up for it with KD is out, and it allowed the defense to kind of lock in on Booker in the fourth quarter, and that's where it kind of just ran out of gas for him. And, you know, listen, the Bucks are awesome. Drew Holiday, not really a good night shooting-wise, 4 or 14 from the field. I thought his defense was great in particular. They switched him on to Book in the fourth quarter, and he went off with everything that they had going. Lopez, after damn near strangling Trey Lyles last night, or the night before, continued to have himself a solid
absolute
night.
Absolute foxhole guy, that guy.
Absolutely. 21 and 10 for him, and I think they just had a solid night. And it was nice because the guy who hit the dagger shot for the Bucks, Jay Crowder, who wanted out from Phoenix, got out, landed in Milwaukee, hit the dagger three to kind of put this game away. We're going to talk.
Hey, that's two of them for Jay as well, because he did the thing in Milwaukee too against the Suns.
There we go. There we go. We're going to do real quick. The Nuggets lose to the Raptors in Toronto. This one was just not really close. The Nuggets gave up 49 points in the first quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, when it looked like they were going to make a game out of it, they were only able to score 18. Jokic with 28, 8 and 7 on just 13 shots. This is a tough night for them as a whole, as a team. They looked pretty sloppy in this one.
Yeah, and they've really looked unfocused for most of the post All-Star break, especially just the last couple of weeks. And the concerning thing is, I don't think they're going to wind up losing the number one seed or anything like that. But it's really disheartening to see that not only is Jokic's interior defense being attacked relentlessly by teams, but his teammates aren't protecting him like they were for the majority of the winter. That's what made Denver's improvement defensively something to watch for as a legitimate contender. And it's not all on Jokic. Like, it's guys like Jamal. Like, Jamal got lit up tonight. You know, that point guard matchup went the wrong way. I know Jamal is going through it a little bit with his knee. I think there was some real concern for Denver, especially considering they need to get guys playing well. They need to get new guys like Reggie Jackson, Thomas Bryant in their second unit playing well. And now you got the first unit starting to falter for the first time all season.
Well, no Reggie Jackson tonight. Did not get any. Got a DNP coach's decision. I think he's struggling to find time and find his flow within that team. Not surprised, because that's what happens with a lot of buyout guys. There's a reason why they got bought out in the first place, Law. That's kind of the point. Fred VanVleet went completely ballistic, as you mentioned. 36 points, 8 of 12 from 3 just up from there alone. Raptors quietly rolling. They're in the play-in tournament right now. They're doing all right in the standings. Ninth. A game behind Atlanta, they might sneak in here and might be a team that can cause at least stress for a couple of teams. But hey, folks, that's all we got tonight, because, again, not a great slate of games. That's Law Murray. Go read his coverage on theathletic.com. Again, if you're not a subscriber, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go subscribe now and get all this amazing coverage from Law Murray. Go check out all our podcasts on the Athletic NBA Podcast Network. And Law, take us away.
Ding, ding.